shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
You're so great.
Great are you, Lord.
Oh, sing how great are you, Lord, are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Even when it doesn't feel like it, you're still great.
Ooh.
have something that you that is not you would not label as great. I just want you to come to the altar right now as a declaration to say, Lord, you're still great. You're so great, even if my marriage is falling apart.
Here. In this atmosphere, we're going to be praying for several needs. But on top of that, do you have a need? Do you have something that you have that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus? I'm going to just say that as a point of contact, if you could just come forward and others that feel so led can gather around. But we're going to pray for people that aren't able to be here as well. Our loved one, Jesse, our sound man, our go-to guy, is home today. And thank you, Zeke, for stepping in. But Jesse has had a serious thing happen yesterday to the point that he was taken by ambulance to the hospital. He is now home and he is resting. But please pray for a full restoration for his body. We just heard from Moses this morning that his sister, Rachel, her daughter, Ruth, who's in her early 40s, is getting ready to be intubated. She's suffering with COVID. Young woman, not very old. Guys, trust me, 40 is nothing. And we need to pray God's healing touch on Ruth's body, believing that God can touch her. And then Tanya's parents, Tanya's dad, had a stroke. And we need to pray over that family that God would restore. And so at the same time, I'm going to ask anybody that feels like they need to come forward for prayer. Let's flood the altars. Let's flood the throne room of heaven. Let's ask Jesus to just touch these needs as only He can. Only Jesus. But God, it's the only thing that we have. So let's go ahead and start praying. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to You, praying over all of these needs, God. Praying, God, that You can touch like no one else. Father, You can bring healing like no one else. Father, You can be the one that receives all glory because we saw the hand of God move in these situations, Lord. Father, we pray for Jesse. We pray for Ruth. We pray for Tanya's parents, God. We pray right now, Lord God, for Joseph and for Cameron. Hallelujah, Jesus, we lift our hope to You. God, she's Your girl. Father, You can touch. You can bring wholeness to her life, to her situation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, God, for Your wholeness, for Your healing in the name of Jesus, for restoration, for continuation, Jesus, continuation in the name of the Lord. Father, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, more. More love. It's not possible, but it is possible. More to You, Jesus. Personal. Powerful. Powerful. And we must be strong, God. And we must be strong, Jesus. Father, thank You, Lord. God, hallelujah, give more Jesus. More Jesus for her. More Jesus. Touch the very depth of who she is, God. Knowing, Father, she's willing, you're able, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Are there some that are sick in their minds or in their bodies or even in their inner man that needs to have more of Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That God is the God of, our God is the God of the impossible. He is the way maker as we sing. And so I want to just have our hearts be full of faith and believe that God can touch Ruth in a supernatural way right now where she's at in her hotel room. Hospital room. To me, being in the hospital for 11 days, it seems like a hotel now. Sorry. Father, right now, we just ask that you would just come into that room right now with your presence. Lord, we know, God, that your desire is for us to be healthy and well, Lord, as our soul is prospering, Lord. So we pray right now, Father, for Ruth, that you would touch her, Lord, supernaturally, Lord. Let those lungs open up. Let the airways and the passages be open, Lord, so that she can breathe freely. And Lord, let a miracle take place, Lord, a miracle that will testify to your goodness, to your love, to your power. Lord, Lord, we just release in the natural realm the resources of heaven that are available for Ruth to receive, God, the work that you accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross. So right now, in Jesus' name, we just speak life over Ruth. We speak health. We speak to these lungs. We say, open up in Jesus' name. Bronchial tubes, open up in Jesus' name. Heart, function properly in Jesus' name. Organs, function properly in Jesus' name. Tissues, every cellular part of her body, let it operate as you have designed it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the one that works miracles. You are the miracle worker. And you have given us the honor. You have given us the privilege, Lord, of standing in the gap for those, Lord, who can't stand in the gap for themselves. We just ask right now the same thing for Tanya's dad, Lord, that you would just touch him in that room, Lord. Let the damage that was caused from this stroke be reversed in Jesus' name. Let his faculties come back. Let him think clearly again, Lord. Let him be fully restored in Jesus' name. Father, we pray right now for Jesse that you would allow the healing to come, Lord, to this vessel that broke, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. And no more problems in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you feel so inclined, take a moment and greet somebody around you. Shake their hand. Welcome them in the name of the Lord and into his place. Fun. We're going to do some family business. <Come on up. laughs> You good? Well, praise the Lord. So how many know that God is the God of families? Says in the Acts several times in that book that someone was saved in their whole household. What does that mean to me? That means that God is interested in everyone in our family. Not just our kids, not just our parents, but our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, anybody that I believe we hold in our heart with love. God's interested in their salvation. So today we're going to dedicate a few babies. Yeah. And so let's see. Let's who we're going to do first. Should we just do them, get them all together? Yeah, let's get them all. Let the whole family come on up. Anyone who feels so inclined. Let me put it this way. Anybody that will be speaking into these babies' lives, that's probably everybody, right?
It's all you guys.
Yeah. What a great family. What a great heritage, right? Praise the Lord. Legacy. Destiny. All right. So,
there's actually 21 of us.
21 of you, yep.
Three of us are missing.
Three of you are missing, okay. Well, not in the spirit. We're all here together, right?
What a good-looking family.
So, Joseph and Cameron haven't been here for Boy, has it been almost 2 years?
3 years.
3 years? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I guess that's right. And they have been in Texas, and they have been reproducing, multiplying, being fruitful and multiplying. And even though they're there, we hold them in our hearts. And so they asked to have their babies dedicated, and we're honored to do that. We don't baptize babies here because we really believe that it's when we're accountable to know ourselves, the goodness of God and the work of the cross, that then we can be baptized. But just as Samuel was dedicated, he was actually given to the priest after his mother was able to conceive. And that idea is that we're saying, Lord, we honor you with the gift that you've given us of this child. And we ask that you would take their life and use their life for your glory. Be with them and help them grow up. That's what we're believing when we're dedicating babies. So this is Rika, right? Rika.
Born out of the
hymn. Out of a hymn?
H-Y-M-N.
Yes. Oh, born out of a hymn. Rika. Okay, like born out of a song. Oh, that's a great name, Rika. Yes. So let's go ahead. We're going to pray for Rika. Father, right now, we just thank you, Lord, for Rika. We thank you, Lord, for her life. Lord, her young life, Lord, and even though she's not sure about everything that's going on right now, Father, we just ask you to touch her with your grace. Lord, just lead her and guide her, Lord, through the years. We pray, Lord, that you just give mom and dad divine wisdom of how to raise her. Lord, you know how you've created her. You know how you've designed her. So, Lord, give them wisdom to be able to speak to her as she's been designed. Lord, give them the ability, Lord, to bring out in her, Lord, all the giftings and everything you've planted in her, Lord, as she grows up. Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you for the destiny and the calling that's on her life, Lord. So we ask right now, Lord, that she would be able to grow up in you and in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. You let her try to come to you.
I don't know that she will.
We'll try this. Hey, it worked. Barely. That did not work. All right. And this is Kezia. And she's how old?
Two.
Kezia, how are you? Are you good? Are you ready to be dedicated to the Lord?
Yeah.
Why don't you give me your hand? Nope, that's not going to work. Okay. Okay, I'm going to put my hand on your head. Father, we just thank you for Kezia. Lord, we thank you, Father, that she has a plan and a destiny. Lord, even though she's just in her early years, Father, I know that you can speak to her heart. And, Lord, that she can grow up, Lord, into who you've created her to be. We pray for just the wisdom of God right now and the grace of God to be upon her life. We pray, Lord, for her parents, Lord, that they would be able to be, Lord, who you have called them to be in her life. Lord, that they would have wisdom, they would have understanding, they would have grace, Lord. They would have compassion for her, Lord. And we pray right now for this whole family, Father, that they would be used by you for your glory. Lord, that you would be number one central in their life, Lord, that no matter what comes against them, Lord, they know, Lord, that they're in you and that you have given them, Lord, this destiny to walk out and that you have given them the grace to walk out in this destiny. So we just bless them now in Jesus' name and we thank you for them. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just in the coming days, Lord, continue to let them be fruitful and fruit that remains in their life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we have something for you. We'll do them all at once. Okay. Tegan's going to get blessed. He's asleep. Great. Praise the Lord. This is Tegan. He is now how old? Is he 8 months? 8 months. Oh, my goodness. And he has been growing up around here. You guys have seen him. And he has a great heart. You can tell when he smiles at you. He just loves people. So, Father, we just pray that you bless Tegan.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for his life. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of his life, Lord, to these parents, Lord, and this family. Father, we know that this family, Lord, is called by you. So, Lord, we pray that he would just fit into that calling. Lord, the purposes and the plans that you have for him, Lord, the love that you want him to receive, Father, we just ask that that would just manifest in the coming days. Lord, we pray, Lord, for protection for all these kids, and Lord, continued, Lord, to just be in the grace of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that they are going to be used by you for your glory. And they're going to learn to walk in your ways. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless him now in Jesus' name. Bless mom and dad, Lord, with wisdom. Lord, continue to give them understanding of how to raise Tegan, Lord, as you have called him to be, Lord. He's not like any of the others. Lord, he's who you have created him to be. And so give them the ability to speak into that in his life, Lord, so that he becomes who you have designed him to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Got something for you guys here. A couple of children's Bibles. Children's Bible. You can read it too, Eric, if you want to. I know it's good to read the word. Okay, praise the Lord. I need to grab something here. So how is everyone doing today? Good? Good. Good is good. It's better than bad, right? That's not working. Hang in just a second. How many deal with technology? So we have been praying for our city, for the county, since about the first of the year. And why do we do that? We do that because this is the place that we have been honored, that we have been graced with, that we have been given the responsibility to live in. And because we're here, we're believers, we know the Lord, and as we lift up this city and pray for the needs of this city, pray for the blessing of God in this city, the hand of God to come in this city, he changes things. And I believe that we're not the only ones praying, but this last, 8 months that we've been praying, 9 months that we've been praying, that the Lord is changing things in this city. Nothing else is changing us. So, Father, right now we just pray for Yakima, Lord. We pray that you would just touch the city, touch this county. Father, we pray for every area, Lord, of the especially the dark areas, Lord, of this city, Lord, that haven't been exposed to your light yet. Lord, we pray that you would let the light of God come into those areas, Lord, into the areas where there's drug addiction, Lord, in the areas, Lord, where there's abuse, God, into the areas, Lord, where there's things that are being done in secret, Lord. We pray that you would allow your light to come in there and illuminate it, God, and allow healing to come, Lord. Allow restoration to come, Father. Father, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel would shine in this place. Lord, shine in the hearts of those who don't know you. Shine in the hearts, Lord, of those who want to know you, God. We pray that the light of Jesus would come. Pray, Lord, that there would just be an atmosphere of heaven that would fill Yakima County. Lord, that it would be the place where God inhabits, Lord. Where people look to you, Lord, for guidance and leadership in their lives. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Father, right now for our government, Lord. We pray that you would just touch, Lord, our president, touch his cabinet, Lord, touch, Father, all of the different departments of the United States, Lord, touch our Senate, touch our Congress, Lord, touch our judicial system, the Supreme Court. Father, we pray that your truth, Lord, your justice, Lord, your ways would rule. Lord, that man may plan something, God, but you would direct their steps. Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would allow their wrong decisions they're going to make to be blockaded, Lord, and that the right ways, Lord, would open up. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege and the honor to pray for our country and pray for our leaders. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Monday nights, downstairs is youth from 6:30 to 8:30, and they're having a great time. They have quite a few that come that don't come on Sunday, so that's awesome. And they are experiencing the Lord's presence and spending great time together. I haven't been able to be there yet, so I'm just taking what they're telling me. So I believe them, though, you know. They're saying it's good. It's got to be good. And what else do we have here? Every Tuesday and Wednesday, we didn't do it this last week, but normally Gay and I have groups on Tuesday. She has one on Tuesday. I have one on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And there's Zoom, so we're not meeting in person. So if you're in a different location, you can easily jump on Zoom and join us. So if you want to be part of the ladies, that's Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can text that number. And Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can text that number, the women yellow, men white, just so you know. And I want to thank everyone for giving. Praise the Lord. We are blessed in this place because we have individuals that are faithful and they give. And we don't have to sit there and harp on individuals. God puts it on their heart and they give. And because of that, we have our lights on and we have heat on and we're able to pay all of our bills. So isn't that awesome? I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Amen. Hang on. I've got one more announcement that I forgot to put in there. Hang on. I forgot to put the Christmas deal in there. Eric's going like, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. I did forget. Hang on. We really need somebody to run this, Eric. We need, there we go. Christmas decorating. How many like to decorate? Couple people, yeah. Well, we need more than just a couple. We need more whoops on this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. We have a nativity scene that we put up here, and we have a Christmas tree. Hopefully Zeke will be available. Will you be available Saturday, Zeke? Oh, good. Zeke's done it so many times. He's good at the Christmas tree. Then we have wreaths and stuff to put up. And we don't go like all out like crazy. Really, we just want the atmosphere of Christmas to be here. And the main thing is we want the nativity scene, because that's really what Christmas is all about, is the coming of our Lord, his incarnation. Amen. All right. Eric, I think you're up.
All right. Good job, Pastor Mike. Give it up for Pastor Mike, you guys. He's great. All right. Speaking today about time, this is something that I think we all, not I think, I know we all, have a sense of time. Some of us have a bad sense of time. Some of us have a better sense of time. weeks ago, Pastor Mike, no, months ago, maybe even last year, Pastor Mike was sharing about how he used to be very aware, and he would make it a horrible time if they were going to a movie and they were going to miss the previews, and he has calmed down since then. I have not. So if you go to a movie with me, I want you to be very aware that we are making it to the previews, no matter what. If we don't make it to the previews, yes, we are getting a refund if we do not make it to the previews. My mom, I think I blame it on my mom, because I love her to death. She's amazing. But she, the sense of time thing, she wasn't very good at it, still kind of isn't. And it got to a point where I would say, Mom, the movie starts at 6:30 when it really started at 7. Because we would make it then maybe 10 minutes before the movie actually started. And, you know, it's lying, but I did it to her too one time when she came to church and she got here on time. So judge me if you will, but time. I love that our family's here too. Our family from Texas, because we have the Cahayans and the St. Martins. Did Joe leave? That's okay, because I'm going to talk about him. So my wife, Nancy, who is back with the children, she has three younger siblings. She's the oldest of four. When I came into the picture, we were just entering our adulthood. Okay, so all of her siblings were younger, in middle school and high school. And my first encounter with Joseph, her little 14-year-old brother, who was taller than us, it was me coming over. This is pre-Jesus. I didn't, you know, even know my wife or soon-to-be girlfriend was a Christian. I knew nothing of the sorts. And I go over to hang out with Nancy, and we're, you know, at the time at their house, they had a pool table downstairs. So, like, let's go play pool. And I'm not going to lie, I was playing the game very hard. Very, this is going to be my woman, okay? And so, Tim, I don't even know if you know the story. Do you know the story? So he wasn't home. You were overseas, actually. So that's probably why I was over there at your house anyways. Anyways, long story short, we're downstairs, we're playing pool. I'm doing my best, like dropping my best lines, you know, like just, I'm laying it on thick, right? And they have this, this like little room inside of their basement. That's where the water heater is and stuff. And, there's like this little vent at the bottom of the door. And Nancy kept saying, like, I think I saw something move. And my first time at the house, I don't know. I'm like, no. And she said, like, right when we got there. So I was like, okay, whatever. And then like 20 minutes passed and she like heard something and she's like, no, there's something in there. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, if somebody's in there, they've been in there for a long time. Right. And so anyways, this whole time, right, like we're playing pool, we're having fun, I'm flirty, be extra flirty, you know, pulling out all the big guns. And finally she mentions it again. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go in there and see if what she's talking about. I open the door and here comes out this 6-foot scrawny 14-year-old boy who's been standing in there listening to me mac on his sister. And he, I don't know if he said boo or whatever, and he comes out and I'm like, oh, hi. And that was my future brother-in-law. So, so lots and lots of memories. But time, we're going to talk about time because I actually had this message on my heart a few weeks ago and didn't get to share it because Holy Spirit moved in our service, which is ultimately what we want. Amen. And so I don't care if me and Pastor Mike or whoever's preaching never get to preach as long as Holy Spirit is here. And so, but I didn't get to preach it. And then the next time I got to preach, I was like, actually, I feel convicted preaching about time because I'm not doing very good at managing my time. All right. I'm not doing very good at, you know, making time in the morning for the Lord or making time to exercise. And so when my next time around came to preach, I was like, I'm not preaching that message. I'm gonna be lying through my teeth. Right. And couple weeks later, now here I am, and I've gotten a little better about managing my time, but I really felt like this was a message for today, and specifically because I want us to understand this, is that this is the most one of the most valuable things that we have in our lives is time. And I don't know if you realize this, but none of us are getting more time. We're only losing time. Even just sitting here right now, like we're spending time doing this. And I don't think enough people actually consider, what am I doing with my time? Like, what God put us here for a purpose. So am I actually fulfilling that purpose, or am I just like living from day to day? And I look at even like this year, the fact that it's going to be December this week, and I'm like, where did this year go? And I even look at my life, I'm like, what did we do? Well, there was a baby that came, so I guess we have been busy. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though I look, I'm like, what did we accomplish? Did we grow as a family? Did we grow like mentally and spiritually? Did I grow mentally and spiritually? And so, if anything, my hope is this, is that we leave this place with a little bit more, with an intentional thought of, how am I spending my time? Okay. And so I want to read this verse, start in Ephesians. This is Ephesians 5, and it says this: "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I read an article a few weeks ago, and I don't know if any of you heard about this yet, but it was, I think it was somewhere like National Geographic or something like that. Elephants in Africa, okay, because of poaching, female elephants have begun being born without tusks due to poaching. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I don't know if you've ever looked at an elephant, but I was like, why do they even have tusks, right? What do they even use those tusks for? And I looked into it because it was my interest was piqued. So tusks for elephants to strip tree bark for food, dig holes for water, defending themselves. So tusks are very vital to an elephant's life, right? They need them to eat, they need them to drink, and they need them to protect themselves, right? So elephants that are then now being born without it, it's like they actually have a disadvantage. The tusks in our life right now is time. And the enemy, he doesn't have to get us to stop believing in the Lord. He just has to get us distracted, right? If he can just get us to stop focusing on the Lord, if he can just get us to be distracted with life, to be distracted with the news, to be distracted with all the chaos in our lives or in the world, then he doesn't have to worry about us not believing in God, because we're too distracted to even believe in God, right? He doesn't have to get us to renounce God's name, because by just getting us distracted, by figuratively speaking, taking away our tusks in life, that's all he needs to do. There are plenty of people, and I say this all the time, but there are plenty of people that go to church, attend small group, read their devotion, don't understand that they're still getting robbed of their time. Because we have this thing in Christianity where we think, and I've done it too, where we think, as long as I hit these benchmarks in my Christian walk, I'm good with the Lord, right? I don't want to just be good with the Lord, though. I don't want to just get to heaven and God say, awesome, great, so glad you attended church most of the year, and you read your Bible most of the time, and you raised your family to know most of the Lord. I want actually to meet the Lord and him say, hey, the time that I gave you, you did something with it. The time that I gifted you, you actually lived with purpose. So my first point is this: make God your focus. Seems really simple, but I think that sometimes simple is where we need to be. Amen. Because we get so far, you guys know this, if you've been saved for a long time, you get so far, so deep into knowing who God is and knowing who the Lord is, that sometimes these simple truths make God your focus. Like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to make God my focus. Why are you worrying about this, that, and the other? Or why are you stressed out about that? Or why? Well, it's because all this stuff is hitting me. Oh, I think it's because you forgot to make God your focus is why. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And in the Passion, it says, "So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly." It's hard to see what the enemy is doing when you're so focused on the Father. It's hard to see, like, if I can just challenge you, church, for a second, all of Christianity, if all of Christianity could hear my voice right now, I would say this: let's stop talking so much about the enemy, right? I've said it. I'm sure all of us in this room have said it. Oh, this week was hard. The enemy was really just challenging me. Oh, me and my wife got into it. Man, the enemy's really been, this thing happened. The enemy was really after me. You know, I don't actually really care what the enemy's doing. I'm not saying I'm not aware of it. But when I allow the Lord to be my focus, what the enemy is doing becomes so less important. And if you can imagine, like on our, like on a fancy camera, or even a lot of our phones do it now, where you can take a picture and you could focus on the background, right? And then what happens, what's in the foreground becomes blurry, right? And I think a lot of times this is what our Christian life looks like. We have this picture of Jesus. He's in the center, but he's blurry and everything around him is in focus. And everything, we could see everything that's happening behind him and around him and above him. And we could know he's there because his silhouette is there and the image of him is there, but he's blurry. And today, church, if I could just tell you, can we just tap on that screen and make Jesus the focus? That doesn't mean that everything around him disappears. No, it's still there. But if we could focus on Jesus, then the things that are around him become less important. And when we walk through life, and I don't want to preach a message where I say ignore all the bad things, because that's not healthy either. But what I'm saying is that when you focus on Jesus and you get to approach life from that place and say, but Jesus is with me. Yes, life is hard right now, but Jesus is with me. A few years ago, when we lived in California and we came to Washington to visit. And we had just purchased a car. It was a used vehicle. And we bought this car specifically so we could have a reliable vehicle to bring us the 9 to 10 hour drive with our two little kids to come to Washington. Like, that was the vision. Let's get a better car so we can actually have a reliable car. The first trip we took, an hour into the drive, the car breaks down. The first trip. We had it for a couple months. This is the first time we actually took it, though, anywhere. So I was driving along, and we picked the kids up from school that day. I think it was their last day of school, actually. So they were all excited. We surprised them. We're going to go to see Meemaw and Papa T, and we're going to go to Washington. And it was this great moment. An hour into the drive, smoke everywhere. And I didn't know what to do. I've already said this before. I know nothing about cars. So I lifted the hood because that's what men are supposed to do. And I'm like, yep, there's smoke coming from this general area. I called my wife's dad and told him, and because I thank God for real men in my life. And he kind of told me a little bit. And anyways, we got the car going and we ended up, not sure if this is the wisest decision, but we actually continued the trip. Okay, the car was able to run, continued the trip. So drove the rest of the way. We got here and now we're stuck here. And I know that sounds bad, but our home at this point is in California. Okay, all of our stuff, all of our things. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. I have a job to get back to. Like, we have to go back at the end of our trip here. So majority of the trip was me worrying about this car. What am I going to do? Like, you know, taking it to mechanics and just trying to figure things out. And finally, I got to a point after a couple of days of this worrying where I just had to begin thanking the Lord for who he is and stop asking the question, why is this happening, Lord? But started asking the question, where are you in this, Lord? Where are you in this? Because it's easy to ask the question, why? Like, we could all do that. Why did this happen, God? Why are you doing this to me, God? I think the challenging thing is to find Jesus in it, right? Find Jesus in the bad circumstance, right? Relationships are falling apart. Where are you in this, Jesus? You know, I just lost my job. Okay, God, where are you in this, right? I'm not getting along with family or finances are tight. Where are you in this, God? Because I promise you, he's there somewhere. And this doesn't mean magically that things are just going to get better. But when we position our heart towards him, we find him. Right? We sang it today, the more I seek you. When we position our heart towards God, we find him. And the end of that story of the car is one of our friends had a used car that they weren't using. They were going to sell, and they ended up just giving it to us. And we drove home. And so God came through regardless. But so the enemy is the poacher in this story. He's the poacher of our time. Because when the enemy poaches our time, we are less focused on God. We're more focused on who we are not. And we're more focused on our lack. And we are more focused on everyone else's success. Isn't it crazy how much more everyone else's life looks better when you're going through a credit situation, right? Things are happening, cars broke down, and you go online and you're like, oh, Susie down the street just got a new car. Must be nice, right? Or you hate your job and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. And you're like, oh, that person that whatever got a promotion. It's awesome. Good for you, brother. Right? Like, but when we are less focused on God, we then everybody else's success then becomes a competition to us rather than being able to celebrate everybody else. Right? So the second thing I want to say this, make God's time your time. Make God's time your time. How many of you guys have said in recent days, I just don't have time, fill in the blank, right? If you haven't said it recently, you've probably said it sometime in your life. And I'm here to tell you that that verbiage is a lie. We have time. It's just that what is priority to you and what is not. So years ago, my friend Zach, me and him are texting back and forth. He's like, hey, I've been working out. We should work out. I don't have time. Right? He's a single guy. Dude, you can go work out all you want. I have kids, I have a wife, I have a job. I don't have time. And he said this to me. He says, no, bro. He's like, it's not a matter of you having time or not. It's just a matter of, is it a priority to you? And it shook me to my core because then I realized, oh my gosh, that applies to everything. It's not a matter if I don't have time to read my Bible, or I don't have time to spend with the Lord, or I don't have time to date my wife, or I don't have time to go follow that dream that I want to do. It's just a matter of, is it a priority to me or not? It doesn't mean I have all the time in the world, but in this case, to work out, it's like, oh, I have 30 minutes in the morning. I can do that, right? It's just a mind adjustment. So make God's time your time. Shift the thinking to, I don't have time to, is it a priority? There's this story in 2 Samuel, and it regards King David. And we're going to read it. And I want you just to see this first sentence. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war. So where should kings be? Off to war. David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Wait, David, you're a king, and this is a time when kings go off to war. So already, we're seeing David not set up for success. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. Scandalous. David then sends for her husband, because he's like, oh, I got to cover this up. Sends for her husband, brings him home, says, great, bring him home, give him some R&R. He'll sleep with his wife. She'll have a baby, but it won't be my baby. It'll be his baby. But this guy's so noble that he comes back, Uriah, and says, how am I going to sleep with my wife while my men are out there fighting? And so then David says, dang it, this guy is not going to do what I want him to do. So how about instead, to cover up my mess and dig even a bigger hole, I'm going to send him back into battle and put him in the front lines. And then I'm going to command everybody else to fall back when the enemy attacks, therefore killing Uriah. Then David married Bathsheba. And at the end of this, but the thing David had done displeased the Lord. When you give your time to where God is calling you, he meets you there. What did we see here? In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, when you allow yourself to be where the Lord wants you, you have less of a chance to end up in situations where the Lord never intended you to be. Now, this is the blessing and the curse of free will, right? Is that we can, whether we're serving God or not, or whether we're pastors or not, or whether we, whatever, been saved for decades or not, we still have free will. And it doesn't mean magically we don't have evil desires, right? But my encouragement, church, is that we would bring Holy Spirit into our life and say, where do you want me, Lord? In my life, where do you want me? I don't know about you guys, but I want to be in the right place at the right time. And the only way I get there is by listening to the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but prioritizing God in my life. Each one of you have the ability to hear the Lord. It might not be audibly. You might not see, pictures or whatever. But you have the ability to hear the Lord. And the only way to get there is by prioritizing this in your life. The third thing, the last final thing I want to say is this. Make a practice of pausing. Now, this is where, again, this verbiage can come into place. I don't have time. But make a practice of pausing. Busyness can be just as big a problem as sin. You may walk a sinless life, and you never have a bad thought, and you never say anything bad, and you tithe, and you give to the poor and give to the hungry, but you're just always busy. And this is not the model that Jesus even modeled for us. Yes, he was a busy man. He had eventful things happening in his life. But what do we see Jesus doing? We see Jesus time and time again stepping away, recalibrating, getting a moment to himself. I don't know about you guys. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. There's this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I encourage everybody to read it. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by a guy named John Mark Comer. He's a pastor out of Portland, and he writes this quote from his book. To walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it. Hurry is the death of prayer. It only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it. That is totally opposite to what's happening right now in the world. Just hurry, hustle, get to the next thing. Don't worry about people in front of you. Just go, just grow, just build, right? But walking with the Lord is not always. Sure, there might be times of hurry, but a lot of walking with the Lord is a very slow pace. Again, I'm not a patient person. I'm willing to admit that. This is a struggle with me and the Lord all the time. God, yes, I see where we want to go. Can we get there? Because I've been waiting here for 5 minutes, and now I'm tired of waiting, right? Yes, God, I see the vision. Can we get there already? Because I've been sitting here waiting for you. But this is where we grow. When we get our time back and we pause, this is where we get to grow in this right now. It feels like we grow when we are moving forward, but the truth is that we grow in the pausing moments, in the quiet moments, in the moments between me and him is when I grow. In the moments when I'm in my car alone and I'm worshiping or I'm just having a moment with the Lord, that's where I'm growing, in the pause. Proverbs 28:25 says, to make rash, hasty decisions shows that you are not trusting the Lord. But when you rely totally on God, you will still act carefully and prudently. We need to make sure we're making time to hear God's voice. And our friend a few months ago, she was moving from Oregon to California. And she texted me and was like, can you be praying? We just got notice. We have to be out of our apartment right now in a week. And we have no place to go to. And we're going to go live with my stepdad. And my mom isn't even with my stepdad anymore. So it was a messy situation. Like, we have a place to go, but we need a home. And I remember just asking her. I told her, yes, of course I'll be praying for you. And I just asked her, remember, God speaks to you. What is he saying in this? And she said this phrase back to me. She's like, in all the busyness, it's hard to find time to hear the Lord. It amazes me how many people, how many believers don't press into the Lord in time of chaos? This, I want this to be my knee-jerk reaction. Oh, stress comes up, press in the Lord. Oh, chaos ensues, press in the Lord. Right? Like this needs to be, this is our greatest weapon we have, is pressing into the Lord. So I encourage her with that. And she said, thanks for the reminder. A few days later, God provided a place for them. Right? It's not a magic like equation or potion that happens, but it's amazing what happens when we make the conscious decision to press into the Lord instead of treating the Lord like an afterthought. Instead of treating like, oh, I got a blessing. Oh, that must have been God. Yeah. Thanks, God. No. When I hit a roadblock in life, when I hit something in life, when I see the giant in my life, or when I see the mountain in my life, my first instinct, press into the Lord. Because by myself, I can't face that. By myself, I don't have the answer. However, when I press into the Lord, he's going to walk alongside me, and we're going to face this together. But this starts with me taking my time back. This starts with me taking an assessment of my time. And the final thing I'm going to say is this, is that if we could all take an assessment of what we do throughout the week, you'd be amazed at how much time is wasted. I know me. If I look at my day and say, wow, I spent a good amount of time on my phone. For those of us who have iPhones, it tells you every week, right? And I'm here to say this morning it said it was 5% down from last week. So, but it's amazing when we did this when I was an interns here. We did time where we had to do these timesheets. And it was amazing to me to like, wow, I spent a lot of time doing nothing. And that's okay. It's okay to have days where you just rest or you don't do anything. But when I see it, I've made a lifestyle of it. I'm like, no, there's a huge issue here. And not only have I made a lifestyle of it, but then I complain that I don't hear the Lord, or I complain that things aren't going right in my life. It's like, well, let me look at my time and where I'm actually spending it. Let me look at my time and what I'm actually doing with it. So I'm going to pray. And again, my encouragement is this, is that we would just be more conscious of our time, where we're spending it, where we're giving it, that we would be aware that the Lord wants to meet us. And the only, you know, he's a gentleman, and he's going to meet us where we make time for him, when we make time for him. That could be 5 minutes. That could be an hour. He's just happy to meet you, happy to see you. So God, I thank you. I thank you that you're good. I thank you, God, that regardless if we make time for you or not, you're still good. And God, I just pray right now that we in this place, Lord, we would take time for you. We would take time, Lord, to love those around us, to love our family. Jesus, show us the areas of our life that we need to get rid of. Show us the areas of our life that we need to spend less time doing. Lord, even worry, God, I just rebuke the spirit of worry in this place. The amount of time we're spending worrying, the amount of time we're spending in anxiety and God, I just cast it out of this place right now in your holy name. And I just pray right now, God, yeah, that this week, Lord, that we would be aware of you. Lord, that you'd begin speaking to your children. Lord, that we would actually stop and pause in those moments and say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me here? What are you doing here, God? Where are you in this, God? And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, we thank you, Lord, that you make time for us. Lord, that you make time for us. So we worship you. We love you. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Bless you guys, and we love you. Have a great Sunday. Don't forget next Saturday. Please come and help set up Christmas decorations. And I think that's it. Great. Have a great Sunday, you guys.